Hello, my name is Sharon Drew Morgan, and I'm the developer of Buying Facilitation. I'm also the author of the New York Times Business Bestseller, Selling with Integrity, and the Amazon Bestseller, Dirty Little Secrets. Let's have a good look around at what's going on with the buyer's decision-making journey of this podcast. Let's separate out the buying decision journey from the solution choice, because one is based on need and solution, and we're familiar with that, and one is based on whatever is going on behind the scenes in the buyer's culture, stuff that's unique to them and we'll never be a part of because we don't live there with them. We don't understand those historic relationships or the internal politics. But make no mistake, until or unless the buyer handles all this stuff, they will not make a purchase. We've never addressed this before, preferring instead to wait while the buyers take care of this on their own, calling them stupid sometimes along the way, because we don't understand why they don't buy if we think they have a need that we can resolve. But we've been totally in the dark when they did this. We just kind of sit and wait. And as a result, we've closed a fraction of the sales we should have closed, and we lose a lot of our sales with whatever's going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of and we've had no control over. One of the larger problems is that we've assumed that because we've uncovered a need that our solution can resolve, that we have a prospect. And rather than help them navigate through their private, unique, and often utterly insane issues that they must handle behind the scenes, we've chosen to focus on placing a solution and letting the buyer handle this offline stuff that they have to do. I mean, they just have to do it. It's absolutely necessary because they can't get into trouble with the department head when they don't want to take our solution, the solution choices we're considering as buyers, or the tech team wants to get involved and we don't want them around. To help you separate the differences between the need and the solution, which is what we've done, and the buying decision issues, I have an analogy for you. Have you ever had to, say, lose 10 pounds, maybe spend more time exercising than you do now? Let's say you've got a little bit of a gut on you and you've been walking around with that for, I don't know, a year, and almost never exercise, though you promise yourself you will. And let's say I'm a salesperson at the local gym, and I can offer you a new membership with a discount. What are the odds of me signing you up? Well, nil. Why? Here are the facts we know. You seem to have a need, and I seem to have the right solution. You haven't seen the need to be fitter until now, so you've maintained your status quo. And you most likely have designed some workarounds that maintain your situation. You've bought larger clothes. You're used to eating differently, let's say one extra slice of pizza. You do less exercise or take the car more often. Here's what we don't know. One, what are your beliefs that have made it possible to maintain your current level of fitness or non-fitness? Two, what would you need to know or believe differently in order to make fitness a priority? Because until you make it a priority, the gym doesn't matter. Three, what are the family schedules or human issues that make it easy for you to maintain your fitness level? Your spouse overweight? Your family don't mind what you look like or feel like or act like? Because if they do, you might not be able to maintain that. We don't know. Four, what sort of buy-in would you need to get from your family or your work in order to have the time to go to the gym? Five, what would you need to be different for you in order to have access to healthier food to help you become more responsible about your weight gain or loss or your food habits? And six, what has stopped you until now from choosing to be a fitter or a healthier person? Seven, what would you need to believe differently to make a commitment at this time to be a healthier person? It's not likely that a person who has maintained a certain lifestyle is willing to change without a belief change of some sort. The lifestyle contains certain food choices, time choices, family scheduling choices, and until those are shifted, the gym doesn't matter. In other words, it's not about the gym. And until this person makes a new sort of internal choice, they're not a prospect. Our prospects go through the same sorts of internal things before they buy. Are you getting the point that just because there was a need and you have the proper solution doesn't mean you have a prospect. I have a question. Do you think a buyer knows at the start of their purchasing journey everyone who must buy in, who must be consulted, who must do something that involves some sort of change, or who must agree, or who they have to hire or fire as a result of bringing in your solution? Do you think a buyer knows at the start of their purchasing journey everyone who must buy in, or who must be consulted, or who must do something that involves some sort of change, or who must agree with you, or who understands they have to fire someone or hire someone as a result of bringing in your solution? Of course not. The implications of a purchase or any sort of change cannot be understood at the beginning of the buyer's journey. But before a buyer can make a purchase, they may need to make sure that their environment will not face some sort of chaos when they bring in your solution. So all the areas that touch the buyer's problem must agree to making this purchase before the purchase gets made. And as I've said, the buying decision issues have nothing whatsoever to do with need. They are political or relational or historic. Let me give you an example that's going to show you the whole problem and how when I use buying facilitation, my decision facilitation material, at the front end, manage the problem, saved me a hell of a lot of time, and taught the buyer how to buy. I got a call from the largest bank in Europe recently. The head of commercial banking called to ask if I could create a buying decision front end to a large IT system they're developing to help their buyers make buying choices. I'm going to relate the whole prospecting experience here, as it'll show you how I was able to manage the buyer's experience from the telephone, save myself a heck of a lot of travel time, and truly serve the buyer. And I got onto the buying decision team within minutes of the call. Notice that I didn't gather data about their need or attempt to place my solution. That was the last thing to be done. In fact, I still haven't done it, and I'm well on the path to helping them greatly, but in a different way than I had originally planned. You'll see. Instead, I led them through the buying decision issues, and he figured out what he and his team would have to manage prior to being ready, willing, or able to make a purchase. And this whole discussion started with my very first comment to him. Listen to how this plays out and compare this to what you might have done if you were going to start by doing some sort of relationship building or needs analysis, rather than what I did as I started immediately to help him figure out how to fix the problem themselves and then helped him get the right decision makers together to move forward. Because until or unless they did all this, they couldn't buy from me anyway. So here's the conversation. The man said, let's call him Joe. We're interested in having you add some decision facilitation capability to the front end of a large customer service system we're developing. Can you do that for us? Sharon Drew. Sure, but I have a question first. What's stopping your tech team from developing this on their own? Joe. They do want to develop this on their own. In fact, they've already purchased a bunch of your books, and they're studying them to see how much they can do without you. Sharon Drew, so how will you and your buying decision team know that using material I've developed will give them additional value different from what the tech guys are going to get from my books? Joe, well, that's the problem, isn't it? I know that they can't learn the material in full without you, but they're convinced they can, and they're trying to convince our team that they don't need you. And of course, the team would like to believe them because it would save us time and money. Sharon Drew. So how will you and the buying decision team know that what I offer personally would give you an additional capability over what the tech team can get from my books? Joe, how about if we set up a conference call for the team? Sharon Drew, and how will you choose the team members to be on the call? Joe said, well, the head of technology has to be on the team, and probably the head of training and internal consulting. I think that should be it. And I said, well, has there ever been a time when the bank has done something similar for buyers before now? Joe said, oh, yeah. The retail banking side tried something like this a few years ago, but they failed miserably. Do you think we need to include him in the group also? I said, of course. But people are going to be comparing you and assuming you're going to fail like he did because he's in a very similar position you're in. Why don't we get him on board so he can give us his ideas and we can avoid mistakes? And then, so he agreed, and he said that we'd set up a time to meet 4 days later. So he put together all these big players in of this very large bank. It was the head of training, the head of consulting, the head of retail banking, head of commercial banking, and head of technology. 4 days later, we're all on this conference call, and I hadn't met them yet. I still had no idea really what their needs were, and I had never discussed my solution. A few minutes into the call, the CEO of the bank got on the phone, and he said, I saw all of you big players on a conference call, and since you all work for me, I thought I'd better get online and see what kind of trouble you're getting into. This guy proceeded to shoot down every idea we came up with. He would say, oh, we tried that. That doesn't work. I was able to guide the whole team down a new path of decision-making around his comments. So if he would say something like, X didn't work before now, and I'm not going to let you move forward if you're going to do that, I would say, so what we have to do before we begin is figure out how to make this change and make sure that X is covered and we can do it with Y. We did this throughout the call. I proceeded to facilitate all their decision issues, which had nothing to do, really, with their need or my solution, but everything to do with their internal agreement to buy in, to get the buy-in for a change of this size. After the meeting, after this telephone meeting, I was included in all of the emails for the next 2 months that it was discussed. I was on the buying decision team. And toward the end, it was obvious that they wanted to break up their solution into segments and use the tech team for the first segment and then bring me in after a year's trial. So now I'm on the budget for next year, and I'll be going out there to finally meet with them. And I've never discussed my solution or my price, but I'm on the buying decision team already. I've proven myself to be someone they want to work with and whom they trust. I have helped them make their major decisions, separate from my solution. If I had tried telling them that the tech guys couldn't reproduce my material as I only make a small fraction of it available in my books, which is true, I would have lost my consulting service, my real relationship manager trusted advisor service, and lost credibility. Could the tech team do my stuff without me? Absolutely not. But the tech team is right there with them, and they can talk together all the time, and if the tech team convinces them they can do it, it's not going to matter what I say. I'm here. And they're already insiders. And I did get what was mine. And the buyer would have gone forth choosing their tech team anyway and not have included me, and I wouldn't have gotten that one portion that was mine. I've put in about 2 hours of time, far different than the huge amount I would have put in if I had flown out there, spent a couple of days gathering data and finding out who they were and making nicey-nicey and then putting together a proposal. Now, I don't need a proposal, and they've already bought me. And you know what? If I wasn't involved with that team that way, the CEO would never have allowed that to move forward because he had so many no's in the whole project that until I repositioned it for them to think about differently, it would have been a no-go. We are so focused on understanding needs and placing solutions that we're not involved in the buying journey, which has absolutely nothing to do with the need or our solution until the very end of the decision-making. There is an internal buying decision team that handles these decisions, and we are not getting on it. We do not know what internal politics are coming up for them, or who is fighting with who, or when a beloved vendor shows up to sell in our space. We've never known how to help buyers impact these issues before now, and we've sat and waited, and we've lost a lot of sales. And unfortunately, we can never understand what the heck is going on with them because we don't live there. Even if we ask them questions, not only will they only give us a fraction of the real data, but they don't even know the whole thing till they're in the middle of their mess of figuring it out. Some of the issues that buyers have to face before they can buy include people, policies, politics, rules, relationships, familiar vendor relationships, partner relationships, personal relationships, interdepartmental relationships, initiatives, budgets. The other thing that's vital for the prospect to explore are all the different ways they can fix their own problem with a familiar solution. Remember, the buyer only wants to resolve a business problem, not to find an untried solution that they have to get everyone to use or buy into. The last thing they want to do is bring in a new solution or a vendor, and as that will create all kinds of disruption for them. So before you start gathering information about needs or discussing how your solution will fit, remember that buyers have a very necessary journey through all of the elements within their environment that must buy in to bringing in a new solution. At least a portion of your sales job is now being co-opted by the internet. We've been focusing on solution placement and needs analysis forever in our sales fields, our sales jobs, and the internet can do this. So we need a new job. We need something that buyers need us for. Learn some of the new facilitation skills that I'm offering to help buyers through their buying decision journey. And then you can be a true servant leader and trusted advisor, and they'll put you on the buying decision team on their first call. It'll also help you discover who is a real buyer. And then you can get rid of the people who are tire kickers and who will never buy, and you'll know that on the first call. As you go down the journey with them, you'll have some say in how decisions get made, and it will be obvious to everyone if they can buy, how they're going to buy, when they're going to buy, and who they're going to buy from. You'll turn some of them into buyers who wouldn't have even bought, and some who you would have sworn would buy will never buy. You'll end up discovering that much later on anyway, after you spend a lot of time offering your solution and following up. But you want to find out up front, don't you? The real question is, would you rather sell or have someone buy? Today, your sales job is being taken over by the internet. Your prices are comparable to your competitors. And you sit and wait for sales to come in with little capability of exhibiting real control of what's going on behind the scenes. Buying facilitation can actually help you manage the buyer's journey from the inside. Next podcast, we'll be talking about buying facilitation, why sales must change, and how.